Our text is the Gospel, John chapter 6, which we have already heard read. Imagine a classroom full of students waiting to take a test. I know it's a stretch, but bear with me here. You can sense the anticipation. And then the question is announced, and the students begin to work. Many of them, though, have noticed that the answer is already written on the chalkboard in the front of the room. Others are far too busy with the complexities of the question to notice this. And still others have seen the answer, but they're not convinced the question is really phrased properly, so they're thinking about how it should be redefined. Now, it's not exactly the same, but there is a test in our text for today. A large crowd had gathered around Jesus, and he asked Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" John tells us that Jesus asked this only to test him. Now, Philip, to his credit, immediately grasped the difficulties posed by this question. In fact, you can see the mathematical wheels turning in his answer. 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Philip didn't do very well on the test. He had a great grasp of the problems posed by the question. And it could be that fact that kept him from seeing the answer standing right in front of him. The crowd, of course, did know better. They were more than willing to see Jesus as the answer, but to a question entirely of their own design. Seeing in Jesus one who had satisfied their hunger, they wished to make him king, hoping, no doubt, that he could also satisfy their hunger for freedom from Roman oppression. When they caught up with Jesus later, he himself charged them, "I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill." To see this miraculous feeding as a sign, the right answer of Jesus has to be brought together with the right question. We know what that right question is from the very beginning of John's gospel. John the Baptizer saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus is the answer to the question, how can the sin of the world be taken away? Or to put it another way, how can sinful people be made right with God? How can I have forgiveness of sins and eternal life? Jesus rebuked the crowd because they were asking the wrong question. They wanted a bread king. He is the living bread from heaven. Our situation, by contrast, is like that first group of imaginary students. We have recognized both the question and the answer. That's why, even in the midst of Lent, we can observe this Laetare, Rejoice, Sunday. We don't make our way through Lent as if we don't know about Easter. We know how it all ends. We have all the information. We can put the question and the answer together. Now, that doesn't mean that we can't be distracted from putting the question and the answer together properly. Think back to Philip. It is possible that he didn't think Jesus could really provide food for all those people. But doesn't it seem more likely that he doubted Jesus' desire rather than his ability? Now, we obviously don't know what Philip was thinking, but in our own experiences, it seems that God's love is more susceptible to doubt than God's power. It is precisely our confidence in God's power that puts us in situations where we're tempted to ask if God cares. Have you ever asked why? Why rebellious teenagers? Why money problems? Why sickness? Why death? Throughout life, we are placed in situations in which we see how faith is tested under the cross. And at those times, we understand, we experience the fact that belief about God is not the same as belief in God. And yet the language, the imagery of life under the cross reminds us that the answer is there, and we live in its shadow. The ultimate answer is the all-powerful love of the Father who did not spare his Son. We can believe and trust in the God who has saved us, who has restored us to a loving relationship with himself. Remember that the words of Jesus to Nicodemus come three chapters before this text of the gospel for today. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Jesus is indeed the answer, but only to the question he himself has provided. Much of our society shares the mentality of the crowd. Many are perfectly willing to accept Jesus if they think he's the answer to what they believe they need done. So people are more than willing to think of Jesus as an ethical teacher or a spiritual guide. They are not necessarily willing to see him as the Savior, for that would require them to be sinners. And the temptation is always there for us in the church and as the church to pander to this way of thinking. The temptation is always there to step lightly in our preaching of the law and our condemnation of sin in the hope that people will stick around long enough to hear the rest of the message. But it doesn't work that way. Jesus is about forgiveness. And forgiveness can be had only where sin is recognized and confessed. You see, the crowd was simply wrong. Jesus is not the answer to whatever question you might want to ask. He has come to take away sin. The sign of the miraculous feeding points to Jesus, the bread of life. The rest of John chapter 6 explains that. When the crowd said, "Sir, from now on, give us this bread," Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. And my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life." That is the message given to us to live and to proclaim. We have both the question and the answer. By the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit, we live each day with the assurance of forgiveness of sins and everlasting life. Amen.